Hello, Lifebookers from around the world, and thank you for tuning in to the Lifebook Member Podcast today for Emotional Month, March 2021, exploring every category, one category at a time. My father, the founder of Lifebook, John Butcher, on the line. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing so good. Nice to be here, Jordan.
It's Emotional Month. This is a powerful month, man. It was really dawning. I mean, we were having a conversation off air, but it's been dawning on me over and over preparing for this interview, just the importance of dedicating what is essentially study time, research time, both individually and as a species, to emotions, understanding emotions. It's strange, man, because there's a few final frontiers left in the universe. You know what I mean? They talk about, you know, neuroscience or deep space or the deep ocean. Emotions is one of those things, 100%. Yeah. They're an infinitely complex kind of force that we still understand very, very little compared to other aspects. So it's crucial that we revisit this and study and research.
We're doing really well exploring the outer world. Our spacecraft have left the solar system.
Exactly.
We've gotten on other planets. We've dissected everything with our intellect. We've created more comfort and conveniences than ever before in the history of our species. But our well-being hasn't necessarily increased as much as you'd think it would, having solved most of our existential threats. And that's our inner world that we're talking about. So that inner world is just as vast a continent to explore as our outer world. And I think that, you know what, Sadhguru says this, and I'm going to be quoting him probably a lot today, because when it comes to where I am right now in my emotional life, he's my number one guide.
No, that's awesome.
And he basically says, look, when you're struggling with survival, which we've been struggling with that ever since the dawn of the human species, you don't have time to go inside and to think about enlightenment. When you got a lion chasing you, or when your kids are in danger of starving, or you know, you're not thinking about that stuff. But once your survival needs have been taken care of, once you live in a world where the conveniences and the comforts are surrounding you to the point where you no longer have to spend so much time and energy focused on daily activities just to stay alive, that's when you all of a sudden realize that you've got some stuff that you need to work out inside. That's when some of these problems, some of these internal problems can come up. And I just feel like that's kind of where we are as a species right now. The emotional Yes. category is what the world is struggling with. And frankly, Jordan, like we discussed kind of before this call started, frankly, failing with. We're failing from an emotional perspective as a species right now.
I totally
We're doing agree. So well. I've said this over and over the last 6 months. We're living in a golden age that nobody is noticing. And nobody's noticing it because people are more agitated than ever before from an emotional perspective, even though we've solved the most important, the most difficult problems we've ever had to solve. Those problems exist in our external world, and now we're faced with our internal stuff. And we're really struggling.
You're right.
So this is a super important category.
You used the phrase that we need to address this stuff, though. And you are absolutely right. I guess that's what I was kind of alluding to with that opening point, is it's not just nice or an addition. This is a necessity. As you said, not only does solving all those existential threats allow us to address this, it requires us to address this. Suicide is at an all-time high. Teen suicide is at an all-time high. Right now. Last year, it was an all-time high at that point. It's on the rise year by year, is what I'm trying to say. This problem is a growing problem.
100%. Anxiety, depression, it's all on the rise. It's just mind-boggling. Who would have thought? Would have thought? Right? We've got to go deep here. This is a very, very important category for us to explore and for us to get a grip on. I'm going to say one more thing about, before we really get into our conversation, about this category that makes it a little bit different than the other categories. And we've talked about this before, Jordan. In this category, you can have everything else going on amazing in your life. You can be in shape. You can have an amazing career that leads to financial abundance. You can live in an amazing house. You can have you know, Kanye West's quality of life and all of his Bentleys and his mansion in Bel Air and blah, blah, blah. And if your emotions are jacked up,
right,
you have a miserable life. Doesn't matter what else is going on in your life that's good. If your emotions are bad, then your life is lousy. At the same time, you can have a very modest, you can be very modest in every other area of your life. But if you're living at a high emotional level, joyful and happy and fulfilled and abundant, and most of the day, you're living one hell of a great life. You're living a successful life, no matter where your other categories are. So this category is so friggin' important, and it's so elusive. You could spend your entire life studying this category.
100%, man. That's such a good point. It is unique in that way. It's absolutely right. And life bookers have a unique advantage. So that's why I love doing this type of content, because, I mean, here we are, man. We're here to do that work. So, yeah. So listen, before we dive into some meat and potatoes, I want to talk about your life book. I want to talk about this new approach that you're taking to this incredibly important category this month and beyond. Talk to us about that a little bit.
Yeah. So basically, you know, life bookers have heard me talk incessantly about my favorite quote, which is the Marcus Aurelius quote. If you're upset by something, it's not the thing itself that's upsetting you. It's how you're processing the thing. It's the meaning you're attaching to the thing. And this you are in complete control of. He says it, this you have the power to revoke at any moment. Mm. So that's the smartest thing I've ever heard anybody say. It's basically you are in complete control, whether you like it or not, whether you exercise that control or not, you are the one that is in control of your emotional states. I mean, you can exercise that control if you choose to. You can take responsibility for the emotions you feel. But that is so friggin' hard to do. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to do in the moment. We've talked about this, Jordan. Right. We talked about it a lot. And then I came across Sadhguru's incredible wisdom, which gave me a methodology that makes it a little bit easier for me to do that Marcus Aurelius thing, which is to revoke the way that I'm looking at the situation and therefore change my emotions about the situation. And basically what Sadhguru said is, when you're suffering, take a look at what's actually happening. When you're suffering, is somebody stabbing you with a knife? Probably not. And if that's happening, that's a different problem that's got to be handled in a different way.
Sure.
What's probably happening when you're suffering is you are making yourself suffer. You're probably sitting in an air-conditioned room. You're right.
Full stomach,
exactly. So it's happening inside of you. It's not happening outside. The Mongols are not attacking your city, going to burn everything in sight. You don't have a tiger right around the corner getting ready to eat you. You're probably not in the middle of a volcano that's blowing up right now. This is internal stuff. And he basically says, we live in three separate sort of time frames. We have the past, which is our memory. We have a vivid sense of memory that sort of brings us our past. We've got our present. And our present is our sense organs. Our sense organs only work in the present. Sight, smell, touch, taste, sound. That stuff, our sense organs don't work in the past and they don't work in the future. They only work in the present. And the way to get into the present is to get into your body, to just experience what you're sensing.
You're so right.
Right? And then we have our future. And our future is our vivid sense of imagination. And what Sadhguru said that just struck me so hard, Jordan, is when you're suffering, you think you're suffering your life. You're not suffering your life. You're suffering your faculties, your most important and valuable faculties that make you human. They've turned against you. Your intelligence has turned against you. Your vivid sense of memory. You're still suffering things that happened 10 years ago, right? Exactly. We all do. We all still suffer things that happened 10 years ago. And you're also suffering what you think might happen next week, your vivid sense of imagination. So but here's to make a long story short, this is my big change that I'm working on this month that I've never worked on before. When it's come to emotional control, like I'm going to read you a section from my life book.
Oh, yes.
This from the vision section of my life book, and it's about emotional control. I will become a master at managing my emotional states so I can feel good as much as possible in my life. I'll define and create the specific emotions that I want to experience on an ongoing basis. And I want to continuously flood myself with these positive emotions, feelings of happiness and joy, feelings of love, confidence, and self-esteem, passion, sensuality, feelings of contentment and fulfillment, courage, compassion, and empathy. So for the last 20 years, I've been focused on creating the emotions that I want to create. And I've gotten good at that because basically all you got to do is define the emotion, define the recipe for creating that emotion. What things can I do that will make me feel that way? And then do those things. I've shared that strategy with Lightbook members. It's in the Lightbook program. I'm pretty good at it. And so that's what I've done, you know, for the last 20 years to exercise emotional control. But there's an aspect of emotional control that I haven't explored as deeply as I need to. And that's my job this month, Jordan. And it's basically not just creating the emotional states that I want to create, but being able to eliminate the emotional states that I don't want to feel. Exercising discipline over my faculties so that when I am angry or frustrated or sad or depressed or anxious or whatever that negative emotional state is, I can think about that Marcus Aurelius quote. It's not the thing that I think it is. It's not that that person said something negative to me. It's not that this situation happened and that's what's making me feel bad. It's how I'm looking at that situation. Yes. And now I have a technology, which is Sadhguru's suggestion, which is no one's stabbing me. There's no tiger biting me. I'm making myself suffer right now. And I'm probably doing it by either using my vivid sense of memory or my vivid sense of imagination. What am I doing right now to make myself feel bad? And how can I let go of this? I haven't spent enough time mastering that aspect. And that's what I'm going to be working on this month. And how I'm going to do it is I made a 12 dot. One of my sacred choices is going to be every single day, I will have a negative emotion. That will happen. I know that. I've already been tracking. If I can get through the day without being swept away down a negative thought road, I get my little zero negativity dot in my 12 sacred choices. I'm going to use that dot this month and I'm going to modify it. And I'm basically going to say this, Jordan, I might have three or four or five negative emotions or negative feelings that come into my life today. If I am able to become aware of one of those states, take a deep breath, separate myself from it just a little bit, ask myself, how am I creating this state inside of my body? And then transmute that negative state into a positive state, I get my dot. If I have three negative feelings and I can only transmute one of them, fine, I still get my dot. It's baby steps. It's baby steps. I just want to make a little bit of progress. And I think by the end of the month, that might just be a profound thing. We'll see.
Game changer, man. That's really powerful stuff. I think the core theme of all of those things is that you're taking responsibility. You don't want to say taking control. I mean, by taking responsibility, you kind of are taking control of your emotions, but it's not so much about controlling your emotions. It's about, I love the word transmuting, but what it's really about is A, taking responsibility, which gives you the power source, let's say, and then processing. Emotions are things that need to be processed. The word transmute is really, really, really intentional and powerful, though. I like that a lot.
Yeah, and so is the word responsibility. And here's why. Because the word responsibility means the ability to respond.
Right.
And that's exactly what you want to do with emotions. You don't necessarily want to control
it's
them.
Control. You don't. You're totally certainly, right.
Yeah. You certainly don't want to push them down. You don't want to ignore them. You want the ability to respond appropriately to them. Let me read you something from the premise section of my life book, which really speaks to this. Emotions are usually a call to action, which is why you need the ability to respond to them. Emotions are usually a call to action. So in other words, fear can tell us that we're in danger and we got to do something. Anger usually tells us that our boundaries are being violated somehow, and we need to do something about that. Feelings like love, happiness, and joy, these good emotions are signals that are telling us that we're doing something right somewhere. We're making good choices, and we need to keep doing more of the same. You know, so emotions are a call to action. They're there to tell you something about yourself or something about the situation that you're in so that they can get you to. So I love the word responsibility, because literally what you want to do with emotions is you want to develop the ability to respond to them in an appropriate way, listen to them, acknowledge them, honor what they're asking you to do, and then do that. And that's how they lead you to a better life.
That's more eloquently put than I've maybe ever heard, man. That is very, very important distinctions, breaking down these intellectually. Very, very, very important distinctions.
So Jordan, I just want to read you one more thing from my life book. And then I want to talk to you about sort of the new aspect with this whole Sadhguru thing and with this whole sort of a little bit more focus this month, instead of just creating the positive emotions that I want to experience, becoming a little bit more of a master at taking responsibility, the ability to respond to the negative emotions that inevitably come up that I don't want to friggin' wallow in all day long. So here's what my life book says. Achieving excellence in any dimension of life requires high emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is foundational to living a great life. You can't have good relationships without it. Any kind of a relationship, love relationships, friendships, business relationships. You can't make a business deal with someone if you're unable to experience an emotion like empathy and put yourself in their shoes and figure out what they need so that you can, right?
Right.
So I've always thought that emotional intelligence is made up of two components, and this is what I talk about in the Life Book program. The two components are emotional insight, being aware of, paying attention to your emotions as they come up, being familiar with them, not having an adversarial relationship with them, honoring them, acknowledging them, understanding them, having insight into them. That's the first piece. And then the second piece is emotional control. Which is basically your ability to, and control is, I don't love that word, but that is the word that I've always used.
That's what I was saying, alluding to earlier, right?
Yeah. It's almost emotional self-responsibility. That's almost a better word, which is your ability to generate more of the emotions that you enjoy experiencing and let go of the ones that you don't enjoy experiencing. Right. And what I've realized about emotional control, as I've been, studying just in the last few weeks, what I'm going to do this month to try to level up this category, is emotional control comes down to discipline. It comes down to your ability to, in a disciplined way, use your faculties for your benefit instead of allowing your faculties to be used against you. Don't use your amazing, vivid sense of memory to make yourself suffer by incessantly going over all the mistakes that you've made in your life or all the ways that people have hurt you in the past. That's how to use that incredible faculty for ill in your life.
Right.
Rather, Alex said something so cool on the members call today, Jordan. He said, in the same way that I'm seeking to identify the negative emotions that I want to transmute and change the meaning of those emotions change the meaning of the situation that's generating that emotion, so then the emotion itself will change. So in other words, this isn't a tragedy that just happened to me. This is a test. And I am being asked to step up to the plate right now and to friggin' show up and to make this happen.
That's
just a simple example of basically changing the meaning of a situation so that the emotion attached to that situation will change. And Alex said today on our members call that you can do that with your memories. You can literally get into your past memories and do that same thing. This thing that I always thought was a tragedy turns out that it was one of the best things that ever happened to me. Life book came from an emotional breakdown. That's where it came from.
That's a good point, man.
Hardest experience in my life. And so I've been able to change the meaning of that incredibly painful emotional meltdown that I experienced 25 years ago into one of the best things that's ever happened to me. So how crazy is that, that you can actually get in and re-engineer your memories?
Almost like changing, it actually changes your reality. This is something that Lyon Goodman has alluded to. Really all reality is our perception and experiences. And when you edit the past like that, you're actually editing your reality. And the reality is this. You're absolutely right, man. It's a brilliant.
No, you are. That is 100%. That is literally true what you just said, because basically you're, by changing the meaning of past events, you're changing how you view them, how you feel about them, what you believe about them, and that's going to change your behavior. That's going to change your destiny.
You're so right.
So yeah, absolutely. So anyway, my new deal right now is that this month, I want to exercise discipline with regard to my faculties of memory and imagination, and make sure that when I'm suffering, that I'm not using those two wonderful gifts that I've been given against myself. I want to use those gifts for myself. So that's what I'm going to be focusing on this month. And I'll let you guys know how that turns out.
I really love that, man. And you kind of already alluded to a few strategies. Maybe before we wrap it up, you could talk about what specific strategies that might entail. First of all, the past, present, and future thing is brilliant because, like you said, experiencing the present is a strategy in and of itself. Becoming mindful is a strategy in and of itself. But as you said, the memory of the past and the imagination of the future causing us suffering, I imagine meditation would help with that. Personally, I do great with imagination and I do not so good with memory. You know what I mean? I think everyone has their different blend, but what strategies do you
intend on? I'm probably the opposite.
You're the opposite?
I'm probably,
yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm probably the opposite. Yep. I probably have a little bit easier time with memory, although I'm sure I've got some stuff in there that makes me feel bad, but I can project things in the future. I can make up all kinds of crazy stories that make me feel bad. So you know what I mean?
That's super, super fascinating. But
here's the thing, Jordan, in the same way that meditation is so valuable from an intellectual perspective, because what meditation does is it allows you to separate yourself from your thoughts. So many people think they are their thoughts. Right. You're not your thoughts. You think your thoughts. You are the thinker behind your thoughts. And when you meditate, and when a thought comes in, you can look at it and you can let it go. Now, all of a sudden, you've created a little bit of space between who you really are, the observer, the thinker of the thought, and that thought itself. In that same way, this new strategy of when I'm feeling bad, okay, somebody just said something to me that really upset me and it was a business situation, whatever, I'm just making this up. And I feel really, really bad right now. And because this is March 2021 and I've got an emotional goal this month to try to make some progress in this area, I'm going to become aware that I'm feeling really, really bad right now. And I'm mad at this person and this person made me feel bad. That's how I feel. Well, no, this person did not make me feel bad. If you're upset with something, it's not the thing itself, it's how you're processing the thing. So the first thing I'm going to do is say, I'm feeling bad right now, but I'm in a nice room. I have a full stomach. There's nobody attacking me right now. These feelings are being generated internally. 100%. I need to take responsibility for them. Now, am I using my memory to make myself feel bad right now? Or am I using my imagination? In other words, what I've done is I've separated myself now from that emotion in the same way that meditation helps you separate your true self from your thoughts. So this strategy helps you separate your true self from your emotions. Now you're sort of looking at them from an arm's length distance and you can do something about them. Remember, emotions are, I've got in my life book, emotions are usually a call to action. They're asking you to do something. Well, maybe this guy that made me upset violated my boundaries, and maybe that really does need to be addressed. But I don't need to go around feeling bad about it all
day.
All I got to do, maybe, is call him up and say, look, I got to be honest with you. What you said hurt my feelings, and here's why. I feel like you crossed the line in this way, and I just need to share this with you. Don't need to read the riot act. Don't need to get all upset. Don't need to throw a tantrum. Just need to say, This is my experience. 100%. I'm sharing this with you now, right? So I don't know how this is going to go, but this is something that if I can make progress in this area, it is going to change my life. So because Jordan, I'm an emotional person. I'm a moody artist. I need emotion to do my job. I'm a passionate person. You know what I mean? If I'm not emotionally involved in it, if I'm not passionate about it, if it's not compelling to me, I'm not going to have the juice to work on it or to do it. I'm just that guy. And sometimes that makes it hard on me because I'm constantly being flooded with heavy, heavy emotions, both pleasurable and unpleasurable. And I would love to make progress in this area.
Can I make a what I think is a brilliant analogy? Because I think that in itself is a challenge, much like the reference to what Alex said. But a lot of comedians say that about their effed up lives and their addiction problems. They say, I need to be an F up because that's where I get my material. This is a real thing. And what really in reality, I've heard some comedians on podcasts talk about that. Really, that becomes a challenge eventually to where you need to get your stuff together, especially if you're going to become a success. And so what you need to do is basically clean up your life while still having the ability to tap into that place, basically call upon it. You know, a kind of like a boxer who's disciplined until they're ready to fight. You know what I mean? You have to be able to tap into this place, but then put it away for the rest of your normal life. I think that's kind of similar to what you're saying.
Oh, that's beautiful. And, you know, artists are the same way. What you said about comedians, absolutely true for artists. Like I remember, you know, Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails loved performing. Like so that's all he wanted to do is play to big stadiums. When it came to actually doing the art in the studio and tearing his soul open to get to where he needed to get to write those songs, he was literally gut-wrenching. He was afraid of it. He hated it. He had to make himself do it. That can be a very, very painful process. So here's how I feel about what you just said. I think it's profound. I think that it's absolutely right. And I think that that's phase two for me. Phase one literally is trying to make some progress this month. Cause like I said, I've worked for the last 20 years on being able to generate the emotions that I want to generate. Sure. I haven't spent enough time learning how to master letting go of the emotions that no longer serve me after I acknowledge them, listen to what they have to say, because they're there to tell me something. They're usually a call to action, thank them, and then dismiss them. Because I don't want to be an angst. I don't want to be an angsty little friggin' angry, fearful. I don't want to spend the hours of my days feeling those things.
Surprisingly easy.
If they come up, then something needs to be looked at, and then I want to look at it and let it go. And I haven't developed that skill to a high enough level yet. And so that's what this month is about. And I'm gonna let you guys know if I make some progress and if I find anything that is worth sharing, I'll definitely share it.
Well, God bless the whole personal development community. God bless Lifebook. God bless the Lifebookers themselves. Because really, man, that's the problem, is this isn't being taught except for in a place like this. So Godspeed to you and to all the Lifebookers listening on this incredible emotional journey this month and beyond. Thank you, man, for this awesome,
for sure.
Awesome breakdown. This podcast was great.
Yeah, I really had a lot of fun. Thanks so much, Jordan. Love you guys, and we'll talk to you next month.
Thank you so much, Lifebookers. We'll see you next time. John Butcher and Jordan River Butcher signing off, saying, have an extraordinary day, everybody. Bye-bye.